Good morning, this is Dan Arnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 36. The Reverend James Baumgardner is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light." This far ends our text. Jesus is the ram that's caught in the thicket. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. You were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And worthy is that lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, because he sits enthroned before the great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Brothers and sisters in Christ, before the Lamb goes uncomplaining forth this week, our text actually backtracks us a few days. It takes us back to this past Saturday and an evening meal amongst friends. Mary and Martha are there, and Lazarus, whom Jesus had just raised from death. Now, the timing of everything gets a little bit tricky, but I love what our commentary advocates for. That Jesus would have arrived at the house earlier that Sabbath Saturday, which on the Jewish calendar was called the ninth day of the month of Nisan. But Jewish calendars switch over at sundown. A general nod that harkens back to creation when there was evening and then there was morning, the days. And so as the sun dropped below the horizon and the evening dinner was prepared and set before the guests, the calendar day shifted from the ninth day of the month of Nisan into the tenth day of the month of Nisan. A day in history when not only would Jesus ride on a donkey into Jerusalem, but it's also traditionally the day when Joshua led the people of Israel through the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The priests carried the Ark of the Covenant into the river, and the waters piled up, and God made a way for Israel to pass through into life. But alas, also this from the Exodus account. As God threatens Egypt with that final tenth plague, he tells the Israelites exactly how he's going to save them from Egypt. In Exodus 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the tenth day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." And so that day is the day when all of Israel selected their Passover lambs. The Passover lamb whose blood first marked the doorposts of Israelite homes in Egypt. The Passover lamb that was pure and spotless, a sacrifice offered as a meal for the family of God on a day when death passed over and life was taken up again according to the promises of the Lord. God made a way for them to pass through death's grip. And now here we are at this evening meal. All the images begin to intertwine with each other. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, a family celebrating the joyful truth that death had no victory over Lazarus, that he passed through the promised land and came back again because his great high priest stood in the midst of death's waters. Lazarus walked out of that grave alive as a son of Israel, raised up to that new life by the beckoning call of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is the only true Messiah, that old Hebrew word that simply means this, the Anointed One. Jesus is the Anointed One of God, whom Mary now anoints with the sweet fragrance of perfume as the preparation for the Passover begins. She anoints the King of Israel who rides through waving palm branches and shouts of Hosanna. She anoints the great high priest who enters the most holy place in order to make a way through to God. She anoints the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. She anoints the chosen Passover lamb for burial. For Jesus is pure and spotless, true food for the family of God who are hungry for righteousness. Because he who knew no sin was made by God to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He would be lifted up from the earth on the cross, drawing all people to himself. And so, you know, even though it was almost a week before the Passover meal itself, the crowds had already made their way to Jerusalem. Countless pilgrims had ascended the mountains of Judah into the city and fixed their eyes on the splendor and the majesty of the temple, no doubt praying the Psalms of Ascent as they climbed, like Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? The people were eager to worship the Lord at the temple and dwell in his presence, to share in this meal that bound them together as the family of God across the ages, to remember the Lord's faithfulness and the power that he alone holds over death. And already on that day, the Lord God had already chosen his answer to that question. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord, whose only begotten Son was set aside from eternity for this very hour, chosen as God's Passover lamb, anointed to be the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of all the world. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5. The former things were simply a shadow of what was to come. It's within the wounds of Jesus that sinners find their robes to be made and washed white. It's the body and blood of Christ which satisfies the hungry heart and the thirsty soul. And so on that night, Jesus has already lifted up his eyes to the cross. The Anointed One, the Messiah, has your sin and mine bearing down upon him this week. The weight of our callous hearts and our stiff necks, every thought, word, and deed born from darkness within us, given unto him in the thorns that would pierce his brow, and the lashings that would mark his back, the mockery that would be thrown into the air, the spit that would fly, the lies that would resound, and the nails that would pierce. The anointed Lamb of God given unto death, so that death would pass over the family of God. And so that family meal this past Saturday evening gave way to the darkness of night. Soon enough, crowds would cheer, palms would wave, but then the people would turn against him, and the sentence would come down, and the cross would be raised up. And yet through it all, a lamb goes uncomplaining forth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.